My new book, Facts That Aren't True, is out now. Explore well over 100 myths, misconceptions, and urban legends from the human body to history to animals, nature, and much more. Get your hard copy or ebook instantly. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions. Click the link in the description now.
We kind of have problems with the idea of a singularity because it's infinite and indivisible and so kind of unmeasurable.
With liberty and justice for all, yeah.
Yeah, so that those first few nanoseconds are kind of physics doesn't really break it breaks down. So the mathematical models we have.
Pretty sure our models can explain everything except the first very very few Planck seconds. But yeah.
Yeah. So but it's still at the edges. I mean, so if the equations don't work at the edges, then we have an issue. It doesn't kind of, it's not the final kind of understanding.
Well, nobody ever said that it was, but our equations can't describe what happens inside of black holes either, right?
Yeah, I mean, I know. I mean, there's this.
Yeah, but nobody says, well, we have a real big problem with the idea that black holes exist. No, we know that they exist. We even know how they form. And for a Big Bang, we don't know like how it began happening, but it's not like at the edges of where our laws break down, we don't know all the other stuff. I mean, I would say we know the Big Bang happened as much as we know that the Earth orbits the Sun.
I'm not so sure. So if we look at Penrose's his views about the circular, I can't remember the name of the model. So the idea that they've measured some kind of radiation that they believe could have only been formed by previous black holes in a different galaxy. And I know there's some controversy around whether the data is accurate or it was remeasured and et cetera, but they're pretty adamant that the data suggests that there is no singularity, no beginning as such, that it was a continuous process. So this,
but that, when we get but that to wouldn't, these that wouldn't kind make of the Big Bang edges, false.
It would in the sense of it being from a singular starting point, which is the popular model.
No, it wouldn't even say that. Like let's say I have a video and it's only 1 second long and it shows a guy bouncing, like he's above a trampoline and he's going up. And so we come up with this theory that the guy bounced on the trampoline to go up. And then somebody comes around and says, well, yeah, but what if the guy bounced 5 times on the trampoline before this video was taken? I would just say, yeah, maybe he did, but that has nothing to do with whether or not the reason he's going up in the video is because he bounced on the trampoline. That wouldn't invalidate it in any way. It would add extra information, but that information would actually just be kind of more of the same information we're claiming to already have.
Okay, so I think there's a difference of understanding of the term. So the popular press understanding of Big Bang is that there was a hot, dense state, and out of the hot, dense state came this expansion. And then there's the models themselves, the scientific models, which only start at the expansion stage. So at the expansion stage, yes, you could probably agree that there is sufficient evidence for an expansion. But what happens before is pretty unknown, and there's quite a few theories about how that happens. So that's my understanding of the Big Bang. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I don't really have any. I will admit the very last part of what you're saying there, I zoned out a little bit because I was trying to pull up Penrose's cosmological theory here.
Hello. So are you glitched? Are you glitched or me glitched?
Oh, sorry. All I was saying, I didn't really have anything to add to what you said, but I also didn't catch the very end of it because I was trying to pull up Penrose's cosmological idea about the infinite expansion or whatever he calls it.
Yeah, okay. So let's go to a more difficult topic, which is the topic of God's existence.
Oh, I was like, what's going to be more difficult than the... Okay, yeah, go ahead.
this is the hard problem. Okay, this is the hard problem. So my theory, okay, my where I am at the moment is this idea that there's different levels of consciousness. Yeah. So there's the waking consciousness, and then there's kind of like the dream state, and then there's like a subconscious, etc., etc. But in the waking consciousness, we have a pretty good model of the processes involved in producing some kind of perception. Yeah? But what that model shows us is that space, time, and the laws of logic are produced within that framework of the waking consciousness. So when you look at the universe and you look at everything you see, it's from that first person perspective, and it's kind of framed within this this process that does things like you have grid cells, you have place cells, you have a time component in there. And we have these things where we create geometric patterns, etc. And these all map onto the theory of space and time. So this is my point. You cannot conceive of a God where most religions consider him to be beyond space and time within the framework of a waking state that produces space and time. Okay. That's my understanding. And it gets a little bit more complicated than that, because in a lower state or a different level of consciousness, there is those rules don't apply. Yeah. So it's not bounded by a space time. It's not bounded by a Euclidean space. And we know that there's different modes of there's non-Euclidean space. We know we can conceive of non-Euclidean space. We also know that there's many theories out there at the moment that space and time are not fundamental to the universe, but are emergent. We also have ideas again from Penrose that consciousness kind of is produced by gravity and that wave collapse function. So there's a lot of ideas out there.
Yes. So you said the topic was the existence of God. What I would like you to do is in no more than 30 seconds, tell me what your argument for God's existence is.
Okay. So in that alternate state of consciousness, that's when you can see and understand God. And this is shown throughout human civilization, where we have things like theophany, where in that altered state, whether it's meditative state, whether it's plant medicine or whatever, these are the revelations when we get our understanding of God. So it's only in a non-waking state that you can experience.
So your evidence that your evidence that there's a kind of non-corporeal mind, I don't know if you mean an eternal mind or what, that is God, is that when we alter our conscious state, we can access the same kind of consciousness therefore God exists?
We can access a consciousness where we can perceive God, yes. So
okay, so what are the properties that this God has that we are able to experience when we take like shrooms and ayahuasca?
So there's the idea, because we, in our waking consciousness, there's the idea that we kind of create reality just because of the processes involved. When you're in an alternative state, it's like the headphones have been taken off, or the VCR kind of whatever taken off, and then you get a truer picture of reality. So you get to see the light waves as they are, or the photons as they are. You get to see the sound as it really is. You get to see light as it really is, and it's in that framework that we have had revelation and we've had insights that tell us the nature of God. And it's also in that state that people have said that they feel the presence of God, whether it's a sense of complete oneness, an absolute bliss, etc., etc. So it's an interesting theory. It's an interesting theory. And our historical evidence in terms of human civilization suggests that's where we experience God. I mean, if you'd ask anyone who's had a mystical experience, they would kind of say that, yeah, that's where you experience God.
Well, I think they don't know what they're experiencing, because it's very different from their typical experience here in reality. So like an analogy would be, if all of a sudden we gave somebody who's always been blind the ability to see, and we told them, yeah, stand still, look at the world, and now tell me what these things are, they wouldn't be able to be like, oh, that's what a car is. They wouldn't be able, they knew cars existed. They'd been told about them. They told them to watch out. Well, not watch out for cars, but, you know, be alert for cars, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But if they just looked at one, they would never in a billion years be able to be like, oh, that's what a car looks like. Yeah, I remember. They wouldn't have that. And so when people take these substances or whatever, they don't know how to put into words what is going on. And I think it's almost like a God of the Gaps sort of thing. Like, I don't know how to tell you what's going on here. And so I think I was connected to God when it happened. That's what I...
Yeah.
That's what I...
It's kind of true, but there's some interesting things. So, for example, they did experiments where someone who lost their sight and they put ECGs on their head and they wired it up to his tongue. So the signals from a camera on his forehead, which were wired up to his tongue, produced signals that his tongue read. And for the first few weeks, he had a tingling feeling. And then after a few weeks, this is like an actual experiment, they was able to visualize how they used to visualize it. And they said, this is like, I can see again. This is exactly the same experience. So there's kind of like small workarounds. And I think there is a kind of crossover. And in a lot of religions, they kind of talk about this crossover. So for example, you have this idea of theosophy, which was originally talked about in people like Ibn Arabia and later philosophers, particularly in Germany in the 19th century. And they describe this kind of intermediate world, where this is the world where you kind of experience divine things like angels or spirits and stuff like that in a kind of mode that's relatable to your waking consciousness. And it's in that kind of, it's in that realm that the ideas kind of cross over. So there is a pathway to to explaining the existence of God, and it's not a pathway that most people kind of argue with. I mean, they normally argue in the logical contingency argument, or the causality argument, or the thermodynamic or set theory, etc., etc. But in this pathway, there is a pathway.
Sure.
Okay, but then, so that's my understanding. I mean, it's kind of like there's a lot involved. There's a lot involved in understanding how our reality is kind of created in our waking state. There's a lot involved in understanding that space, time, and is not necessarily fundamental to the universe. There's a lot involved in historical perceptions of how these revelations or these mystical experiences have come down to the waking state. It's a lot involved, but it is a pathway.
All right. I just don't have anything to say about it.